This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. Today in studio with Noelle Lim and Kusu Chuang.
Hello. Good morning. Good morning.
And happy Monday.
And we are going to start the week with a recap of how global markets ended trading on Friday.
Well, in America, the US Dow was down 0.5%, the S&P and NASDAQ down nearly 1%. And of course, Asian markets had to go in the opposite direction.
Nikkei was up 0.6%, Hang Seng was up 1%, Shanghai Composite and SDI was up about 0.2%, FBM KLCI of course had to be down by just about 0.4%.
So for a view on where markets are headed this week, we speak to Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Hi Vishnu, good morning and happy Monday. So looking broadly at the global economy, initial optimism over global recovery led by the US and China this year seems to be waning. What's contributing to the sudden onset of risk that we're seeing in financial markets?
Good morning, happy Monday indeed. That's really one of the things about how we have come into Q3 from optimism about the recovery momentum in US and China. We are now fretting that the slowing recovery signs in the US with soft patches, whether it's in the jobs market or in consumer confidence, those things are a bit of a worry, particularly as that has coincided with the resurgence in Delta. So certainly the Delta resurgence is one aspect of it. We've seen some headlines about that in China as well. But I think China is dealing with a bigger problem of a slowdown because in China's case, it's not just COVID or cyclical. It's a structural slowdown. And to a large extent, some of the self-inflicted regulatory tightening as well as property sector tightening are accentuating pre-existing financial stability risks, which could turn out to be a shock instead of a slowdown. So I think these are the risks that financial markets are now grappling with and trying to digest.
Yeah, Vishnu, you mentioned China, and of course Evergrande is firmly in the spotlight for financial markets everywhere. To what extent do you think there will be some kind of like a spillover effect, contagion to the rest of the world? Or what, in fact, whether you think the Chinese government will step in and help bail them out?
I think we don't realize it yet, but Evergrande is going to be hugely impactful because it's going to set a precedent here. And the main point around it is the amount of payables that are due is staggering. You've got over $300 billion in debt. But the trouble also is that there are huge amounts of householding, and there's no way that Evergrande is going to be able to pay unless the government steps in to ensure some kind of liquidity flow with credit extension from the banks at the encouragement of the government. So I think where this becomes an issue is also a social issue because housing could get stopped and people who have paid for their houses may not get it and China cannot afford that. So I think what international investors are waiting to see is how this is dealt with both onshore and particularly offshore. If offshore investors take a disproportional amount of the pain, then this could have a huge impact on how international capital is deployed towards not just China, but the broader EM markets, because this could cause an EM pullout. And for that reason, this is not just about Evergrande, but I think it's about the broader EM credit space.
Yeah, what will this mean for us in ASEAN, Vishnu?
I think we are teetering along a fine line. So the initial impact could be surprisingly positive because you could see money trying to get out of China. So this is not just international investors who are parked in there and getting fearful of the regulatory risks and the spillovers, but also other Chinese tycoons trying to take their money out because they don't know what's coming next. So the initial impact may be what you may call a substitution effect, where you get money getting into other parts of ASEAN, either looking for yields or for safe haven parking. So to speak. But there's a very fine point before it tips over into the forced liquidation impact, where because of the pain felt in the China credit, investors are forced to sell off their other assets in the region, and then that could turn very negative. So this is really a bipolar situation.
Market watchers will be looking at the FOMC policy decision this week. What outcomes are you expecting from the meeting?
In terms of outcome, nothing. We don't expect
I think that's
to change.
Not a bad news, isn't it?
No, not at all. But, markets being market and being finicky about it, they would be going over with a fine-tooth comb every single aspect of the statement, because what they're trying to gauge, I think a foregone conclusion that taper will not be announced in September, so not the fall meeting, but they want to gauge exactly when it may be announced and what other factors they're looking at, because they've had mixed data, Delta outbreak. So they're really gauging whether it's later this year or sometime next year, and at what kind of pace. So these are the things markets will be assessing. So there will still be an impact on US Treasury yields and the dollar and equity markets, depending on the type of tones that come out of the FOMC.
What about more broadly commentary on the Joe Biden infrastructure plan, $4 trillion or so? And of course, the fact that there's a US debt ceiling that they are facing as well.
That I think is in aggregate, and to keep the big picture in mind, it's still a positive thing because it's going to lift the aggregate spending and in particular public sector spending that will give some time for a revival in the private sector, not to mention the spillover from contractors and all the other aspects of it that would at least lift part of the winners, so to speak, winners on the equity markets, leading to positive outcomes. But I think that being priced in to some extent means that there's also scope for some disappointment where the scale of the plan or the financing is, details of the plan, such as the tax policy, so on and so forth, may still lead to some disappointment around the edges. So I think at the end of the day, we need to look at it in concert with the fiscal boost as well as the FOMC support for the economy. And that's what markets will look at the end of the day, I think.
And meanwhile, turning to Asia-Pacific central banks, Vishnu, in this region, do you foresee any central banks following the Fed in prematurely ending their own QE program?
Well, I think the one that jumped the gun was the BOK with a 25 basis point rate hike a couple of weeks ago. Whether that will be extended or not, I think remains to be seen on a few fronts. So what's worth noting is on further rate cuts, certainly there's no scope. But I think central banks are also reluctant to start hiking rates in a tightening cycle. And so I think this may be the strategy instead. A lot of management will be done via credit, that is to say some kind of credit extension or restructuring or guarantees, as well as liquidity provision. But there may not be huge headlines about extended or expanded bond buying programs in the region, setting aside Australia, that is, mainly for the reason that EMs don't want to get caught on the wrong foot if Fed starts taper sooner, and that leads to macro stability risks. However, I still want to stress that EM is lagging US in aggregate recovery, so it would be very hard for them to jump the gun and keep a straight pace.
Speaking about AUKUS, and I just wanted to get your point of view. I appreciate this might be a longer-term view. It seems like it might increase tension in this region. Any longer-term impact on our economic relationship with China that we might want to take note of?
I think ASEAN will be in a bit of a bind, primarily because the polarization is growing greater. ASEAN has always benefited from both China and US growing. And I think what may happen is a twofold event. One is the political and the diplomatic issues in ASEAN will become a lot more stark and harder to manage between China and the US. But there could also be a silver lining and an unintended consequence of more of major global producers wanting to diversify their supply chains and not be so hooked into China. And I think that aspect of it means that the rest of ASEAN can benefit because there may be a parallel expansion between China trying to go out, the lower end of China manufacturing trying to go out and manufacturers themselves trying to hedge the US-China risk.
Vishnu, thanks so much for speaking to us today. Always a pleasure having you on the show. That was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank, giving us his take on some of the events or developments that could be affecting markets in the coming week.
Yeah, so AUKUS has been hogging the headlines, right? Like you mentioned, you were tracking the piece of news, two-fold implications, political, diplomatic, and eventually economic.
Yeah, I don't know where we're going to stand in all this issue. I mean, we're caught in the proverbial, I don't want to use that word, but it's a cat fight between the two superpowers, right? The establishment group, the Australians, the UK, the US, France, and then the new emerging cat, dog in the schoolyard, which is China, right? What do we do? We do business with everybody.
I think I noticed, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this issue plays out, how it's going to affect all the different spheres. Yeah, it's not just going to be a defense issue. It's going to have trickle-down effects on our economics and just how we deal with everybody. We'll be discussing more on this at 7:30. Very quickly, Evergrande, we take a look at some of the headlines coming out on this. China Evergrande Group bondholders are about to find out if the property giant's liquidity crisis is as dire as it appears. Interest payments on two Evergrande notes come due on Thursday, and this is going to be a key test of whether the developer will continue meeting obligations to bondholders.
They've got to pay $122 million, right, in interest alone this week, on Thursday, by
Thursday. Suddenly 1MDB looks like a kindergarten play.
They've got a $300 billion debt loan, right, and that's just interest alone, you know. It doesn't touch the capital. If you're not concerned about that, I don't know what you're going to be concerned about.
Well, I can tell you investors are pricing in a higher likelihood of a default, with one of the notes trading at less than 30% already of face value, and I think some concerns over the company's ability to make good of its $300 billion liabilities.
And Vishnu made a good point just now. He said that everyone should be watching what happens to Evergrande because there could be spillover effects to other emerging markets, including ourselves. So it's definitely something to watch as this thing unfolds. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.